Welcome back to another episode with the Uninformed Gamers. I am one of your hosts, Chameleon or Chris, and I have with me my two wonderful co-hosts. And I've got old Darkness Tiger there.
Hey, that's me.
And old Rad Dreams Review.
Hey, hola.
What is going on, fellas?
Oh, you know how it is on the side of the Darkness Tiger. I am back because last week I was on vacation. However, we were still able to shoot last week. I am back from vacation.
Woohoo! Now, where did you go again?
I went to Montreal because I finally attended my first Formula One race.
Nice.
And I'll tell you right now, it was everything that I had hoped for. Even though I bought tickets on resale, I actually had really great seats.
Did you? Okay.
Yep. It's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday event. On Friday, it rained pretty hard, and the race actually ended up getting rained. The practice session ended up getting rained out. On Saturday, the first session, no rain. The second session, full of rain, so that got rained out, so I left early. Mm-hmm. And then Sunday, there was absolutely no rain. It was a perfect day, and I sat and watched the entire race.
How long was the race in general?
The race was about an hour and a half.
Okay.
2 hours max. It's about 70 laps at the Gilles Vigneault Formula One racetrack in Montreal. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I fully understand the Formula One people now.
How so? Like, because I'm totally unaware of, like, what they are all about.
Well, up until recently, within the last 2 years, I never really paid any attention to Formula One because it never really seemed like my kind of sport. Mm-hmm. But since watching the Netflix series Drive to Survive during the pandemic, I've gotten a Formula One subscription. I've been watching it and then just kind of checking out all the news. Before I went, I actually bought a Formula One shirt and a Formula One hat from Mercedes.
Oh, did you?
Yep, sure. It was not cheap, but you know what? It was cheaper than if I would have bought it at the actual venue. So
I'm sure it was like hundreds of dollars there, probably.
Well, I paid $80, and then that same shirt at the venue was $140.
Sheesh! Oh. Yes. Holy.
The markup.
Is insane. I was just walking past it. I'm like, that's marked up. Mm-hmm. But when you get there, the energy is just so magnetic. It's just like everybody is there. Everybody is excited to be there. Everybody has their own like team. Everyone was really nice. Everybody mm-hmm. was really chill. It was so cool. Like just walking in a crowd of, I think they said there was 300,000 people there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it definitely felt like there was, but it was really cool. Just like walking in like a sea of people. And like, I have the same shirt and hat as somebody else in a crowd. And then like competitors have their clothes on. And then there was like people who actually had full on racing suits walking around. It was really a great time. Even like the food and drinks weren't expensive. Like a beer was like $11,
which okay. That's not still, bad.
No, that's like, I feel like that's cheaper than here. Than like if you were to go to a Habs game.
Oh yeah.
It's like $20.
Yeah. Like baseball games, basketball games. I mean, just really any professional sport in general, food and drink is a crazy markup.
Oh, absolutely.
Like I think if I remember correctly, last time I went to a game, I paid around like $16 for like a 12-ounce beer.
Yeah.
And it's like shit. It's shitty beer too. Like it's nothing to write home about. Obviously, yeah. It's like it's Budweiser, Bud Light, Yingling. Yeah. Yep. You know, like just it's basically like fucking swill. Or it's gross. there's this guy that I used to be friends with, and he would describe beer like that as a panther piss.
Gross.
Because
exactly what he's talking about too.
Like he's just like it's just so like rancid and just unappealing and just unappetizing that you just feel like you're drinking literal like panther piss.
That's my thoughts on the beer Dos Equis. I have never liked that beer at all. I think it's disgusting.
Oh, the only way that beer is edible by any remote means is if you put a freaking lime in it.
Or if you're drunk when somebody hands it to you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's when you drink that shit is when you're already, like, feeling sauced.
Yeah, but going back to
the derailing there.
Absolutely not. That's just not a derail at all. So Friday, we actually ended up taking the Metro into the track. Mm-hmm. So the Metro is packed to capacity with Formula One fans. You get off, and now keep in mind, a Formula One track is a fairly sizable track.
Okay.
So
is it as big as like NASCAR, or like what's the comparison here?
I would say some NASCAR cars could probably drive on Formula One tracks and vice versa.
Okay.
But I believe this circuit was around 3 miles in length.
Okay. I'm just trying to get like a frame of reference.
Oh, no worries. Actually, I did end up buying a souvenir, and it's a book about the track. And this souvenir was only $20, so I didn't feel that bad about buying it. But the track itself, I'm trying to look through this book to see if it tells me specifically mm-hmm. how long. It's 4.361 kilometers long.
Oh, so, wow. Okay.
So when we got off the train, like, I had no idea where my seats were, considering I've never been here before. I had been to the track, but I've never been to it when it's a Formula One. So the first thing I do is I ask the information desk, and I'm just like, hey, here's where I'm supposed to be seated, but I don't know exactly how to get there. How would you suggest this? And he was like, to be honest with you, I don't know how to get there either. However, look at this map, which I was already looking at. And what I would do if I were you is I would walk up that really big hill and just keep walking and follow the signs. And don't worry, like, don't feel you need to rush. It's a pretty nice walk. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, it's going to be scenic. Yes, it was, but that's not what he meant.
Like, nice as in
it's like a far walk.
It took probably about 45 minutes to an hour to get to my seat every day.
Holy shit. That's a long walk.
Because you have
3 days?
Over 3 days. So every day I had to do that 45 minutes to an hour walk.
Oh my God.
And it was in the rain or it was in the hot.
Definitely not a good start to the day.
No. Because the first time, like as it's, like it starts, it's like raining the first day I get there. And like, there's a lot of people, and like, I don't know exactly what's happening. So I got there a little bit early.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like lines, and they have to like check your bag to make sure you're not bringing in anything you're not supposed to.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty standard.
Yep. And then you have to scan your tickets, and then you have to keep walking, and then you have to like scan your tickets again once you get to this bridge, and you have to scan your tickets again once you get to the actual section. It was just a lot, but I'm glad I did that the first day to kind of get my bearings. But the race itself, the entire 3-day weekend was amazing. I absolutely would come back, and I plan on going to another one. I'm even willing to pay more money for the seats next time.
Okay.
I'm willing to pay for VIP.
Oh, you want some club seats?
I would love to some club seats. I'm after experiencing that and experiencing just, base level seat tickets.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely would see about splurging for some club seats because even once Formula One is like the sessions are done for the day, they still have like Ferraris racing around the track
and the
entire city gets prepped for it. Like there's Formula One parties. They close down the streets. Bars are like putting out terraces on the streets. So you could come in and like watch Formula One. It was such a vibe.
That's awesome.
That does sound like just a really, really good time.
Oh, yeah. And after the Formula One event was won, I was finished. I ended up made 10 predictions as to how I think was going to happen, like who was going to be first, who was going to be last, who was going to set the fastest lap time. Out of the 10 predictions I made, I got 8 right.
That's actually really impressive. So did you like win any money or no?
No, I'm a part of this EA, like this, not EA, this Formula One like play series. So it's like you can just make guesses.
Oh, okay.
And if you get all 10 right, you can get like entered in to like get VIP tickets to a different Formula One race.
I gotcha.
So I got 8 out of 10.
That's close. Still not bad for your first time doing it.
Nope, I'm getting better at it. I am getting better at it. And so after the Formula One event was done, I actually on Monday decided to go see a movie with my buddy Anthony. And
what movie? Junior.
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse 2.
Nice.
Is it as good as everybody claims it is?
I'm going to preface this by saying I went in 10 minutes late, so the movie had already been going on for 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in on an edible.
Oh, God.
And it was amazing. Best superhero movie I've ever seen. But no. I thoroughly enjoyed it much more than I thought I was going to. Like, I really liked the first one. I think the first one really set the bar really high.
And this one, do you think this one, like, surpassed that bar?
I'm going to say no. But I also didn't think Black Panther 2 surpassed the first bar. Because I don't know if this is a spoiler or not, but this movie ends on a cliffhanger.
Okay, yeah, I kind of figured it was that because I heard that they're trying to make it into, like, a trilogy.
Yeah, and they're going in the proper direction to make it a trilogy. And so I thought it was really good. I thought it was very funny. Even Junior got ADHD, who can't sit through most movies. He actually thoroughly enjoyed it, too. He said he actually really liked it.
Well, good.
But I will say that is not the only movie that I've seen this week.
What else did you see?
When I returned home on Tuesday, I received a piece of mail. And... In this piece of mail, was my MoviePass card. So I'll be able to give you a review, but like how this works. So in the last MoviePass, you would hop on the app and you would just book the movie through the app. And you would just show up and go about your day, right? And that was part of the problem because people could just book movies and just never go see them. The difference is now is that if you have the MoviePass app, you still have to download the app. You still have to verify with the credit card. It's a debit card that they send you. And it'll tell you like all the movie times on the app and how much they cost, right?
Yeah.
But you actually have to go to the movie theater, stand in there, check in that you're in the movie theater, and then you can use the card to buy your ticket.
Interesting. Okay.
So I went on my lunch break to go see the movie that I was going to see around 4 p.m. So I bought my tickets early, considering you have your seats. So I was like, okay, well, this works. So I'm going to probably see another movie this weekend, depending on the weather. And the movie that I actually ended up seeing was The Flash.
How was that?
I'm going to say it like this. If I'm going to give... Into the Spider-Verse 2 a 4.5 uninformed gamers out of 5, I'm going to give The Flash 3.5 uninformed gamers out of 5.
So do you think
that's pretty good still? I would say.
I mean, that's so it was like slightly above average.
The only reason I'm not giving it a 4 out of 5 uninformed gamers is because having two Ezra Millers on screen is enough for me.
Yeah, and I feel like they missed the boat with that because they 100% could have cast like Grant Gustin as like the alternate universe Flash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was a huge missed opportunity. And I know fans of just the CW show and just Flash in general wanted to see him, whether it be in a full capacity or even like a part-time capacity.
Yeah, big time. Yeah. I was one of those guys.
Because like I felt like that. Honestly, they shouldn't have even, my personal opinion, they shouldn't have even cast Ezra Miller, but that's just me.
I agree with that statement. However, I can't believe I'm going to say this. I'm perfectly fine with Ezra Miller staying as the Flash.
Okay.
I think that with The Flash and James Gunn, I think that they have done enough with this film to not only keep Ezra Miller as The Flash and keep them as a good character in the DC realm, but The Flash also opens up the DC universe where James Gunn can actually do stuff with it.
Yeah, now. And like kind of play with it, you know?
Yeah.
Yes.
I dig that.
Now, the problem is, and I'm really trying hard not to give any spoilers because, like, I think this is a movie you probably should go check out if you're a fan of The Flash.
Just
in general.
Yeah.
The problem is, the way the story went and the way the story is being told, like, the story is The Flash goes back in time to change something.
Yeah, it's kind of based off of Flashpoint Paradox.
Yes. And when you go back in time to change something, no matter how small of a change it is, something in the present also has to change.
Correct.
There is one change that you will recognize at the very end that I'm not sure if it's a good change or not. After watching this film, I'm also really, I also want to see more of a Ben Affleck Batman. But we know Ben Affleck will not be returning as the in the James Gunn universe. But that does not mean that Batman will not be returning.
Correct.
I'm going to let you sit on that. And I'm going to let you think, how is this going to work? And you have to see The Flash to see how they're going to bring the Batman back without bringing Ben Affleck. And if you're going to say, oh, they're just going to go ahead and bring back, who was the Batman in this one?
Michael Keaton.
If you're going to say, oh, well, they're just going to bring back Michael Keaton, I'm going to tell you right now, that is not going to happen.
Okay.
Damn.
So you can get that thought out of your head. Oh, there's just Michael Keaton. It's very different to see what James Gunn is going to do going forward based off how The Flash ended.
I gotcha.
But it does open up a lot. There are quite a few cameos. You actually get an opportunity to see Nicolas Cage Superman.
Oh, really?
That's actually really fun
because I don't know if our listeners really know the history of that. Because he was, long story short, too late, I know. Nicolas Cage was set to play the live action Superman, but it just wasn't panning out. But eventually, he did get to voice Superman at one point in an animated film. So that's kind of like the history of Nick Cage and that, which is kind of cool. So I like that they added that in there. That's pretty neat.
Oh yeah. You can, it actually kind of like, as I'm watching like his little cameo or whatever, I actually would kind of want to see this.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love Nick Cage.
Yeah. Me too. Sam.
He's so good.
So I will give, Into the Spider-Verse a 4.5 on Informed Gamers out of 5. And I will give The Flash a 3.5 on Informed Gamers, but it could have been a 4. So both movies, go out and watch. I'm a fan of the movie pass. I think that as long as you've got free time, it actually works pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see if it continues. And I have one more reveal for you guys. You guys know how I have a difficulty in starting new games?
Yes, yeah. Very much so.
I started a new game on Tuesday.
And what did you start?
I am afraid to say I started Final Fantasy 16.
Why are you afraid to say that? It looks amazing.
Because I'm not a fan of the Final Fantasy realm. Because this one's not turn-based, I was more excited to give this one a try.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say I absolutely love the lighting. I think the lighting on this game is impeccable.
Okay.
I think the fight system leaves a little bit more to be desired, but I see how it's supposed to progress. I think that the gigantic monster fights, they're doing too much digitally where it's a lot gets lost in the fight.
Yeah.
So I downloaded the 2-hour demo because I didn't want to just pay for it straight up without actually saying how it is.
I get that.
And I played the entire 2 hours. And you know what? If this was on Game Pass, I absolutely would download it and I absolutely would play it. Am I going to spend $70 to buy it? Probably not. Will I probably buy it at some point? I think I will. I think that they're going in the good direction with Final Fantasy 16.
Mm-hmm.
It does have Game of Thrones vibes. Just the way the story is, just from what you can tell from the demo. I think that they're going in the right direction, and that's a lot coming from me as somebody who's not a Square Enix fan.
Because I watched a playthrough of the game itself on Twitch, like the demo. And honestly, like I was super impressed by like what I saw.
Yeah, I ended up liking it. I ended up liking it way more than I thought I was going to.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Which is a surprise because the last Final Fantasy I played, which was Final Fantasy 13, I wanted to like it and I didn't after an hour, but Final Fantasy 16, even when the demo ended, I was just like, maybe I should go ahead and buy it now.
Yeah. Because like I watched a English playthrough where it's the English voices, and I thought like the voice acting was like impeccable.
Yeah, I think I didn't do it in the English. I actually did it in the Japanese. And you might be asking, why did I do it in Japanese if everybody's white? I don't know. I thought about that like 45 minutes into the demo. I'm like, why am I reading these subtitles? But I don't know. I guess because it's a Final Fantasy game, and I'm like, oh, Japanese, obvious.
How did you feel about like the Japanese voices? Did like were they good?
I would say so. I think Square's gotten that pretty down, pretty unpacked.
You know what's funny? So like, everyone says like this is the first time that they're like doing like an action Final Fantasy, but
no, it's
15
not.
Was like yeah. that.
And it, honestly, I'm trying to think I think the first one was Final Fantasy X-2, that it was kind of like action RPG combat where it wasn't turn-based. I want to don't quote me on this, but
I think X-2 was turn-based.
I remember playing it and I don't remember it being turn-based.
Yeah, because I was
because the they had the garment grid combat system. Which I think it was cooldown based.
Yeah, the reason I remember that is because that's actually the only Final Fantasy game I've actually beaten.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that the reason, like after I beat the game, there was like a monster that was like hidden and like it could hit one shot you.
Yeah.
And then so like, I would just go take it on and like I would do my little, each girl would take their own turn trying to battle him. And then at the end, he would just one shot all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's why I hated turn based. That right there.
I did like 10-2 in terms of like the combat, but like the story itself was super lacking.
I could see that. I think Final Fantasy 16 is going in the right direction with story wise, but I do appreciate Chris how you're like, well, what about Final Fantasy 15? I'm like, I love how Square just like abandoned Final Fantasy 15, like it didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
No, they didn't. They did DLC for it and everything.
Did they?
Yeah, yeah. It actually ended up having a multiplayer DLC. It had a lot of DLC. I didn't even play the DLC like I wanted to, but I didn't know anyone that would want to play that game, unfortunately, because it was the bro game.
Oh, yeah. Fair. But yep, that's all I have been playing. I will go ahead and I will say I'm going to recommend Final Fantasy 16. I'm not a Final Fantasy guy, but this would be the one I would play.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
All right. Sorry about hijacking for that.
No. I mean,
they're good.
I mean, that's a pretty good update, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I definitely appreciate that.
Absolutely. For me, I'm just going to do a quick what I've been up to. RuneScape. So I haven't really had time to do much else. So
that's But RuneScape is so good, though.
Oh, dude, the best.
Especially like old school RuneScape. Yes. You know.
All right, download it, baby. I'll show you the ropes.
I wouldn't be opposed. Honestly, like, because I used to play it back in the day, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I just kind of, like, fell off.
No, that's fair. There's so much to do in it now.
And it's not even, like, for a specific reason, really. It was just kind of, it just, you know, happened.
Oh, for sure, for sure. What about you? What have you been up to, Mason?
Not too much in terms of, like, gaming, but I have been... You know, watching just like movies and anime, so that has been really rewarding. I finished Vinland Saga season 2, which absolute just amazing 10 out of 10 series when you factor in season 1 and season 2. If you have not watched Vinland Saga yet, please do. You really owe it to yourself to watch the show. It's I would argue a modern like anime masterpiece. For sure. I can't really find anything wrong with it other than the fact that the studio who did it eventually started dabbling in like NFTs.
Of course they did.
But other than that, like the studio does have good practices in regards to their employees. They release good content. And they're not like super, super invested in NFTs or crypto or anything like that. It's just they've been dabbling and hopefully they kind of shy away from that. So I finished that. I watched the Swordsmith arc for Demon Slayer, the newest season of Demon Slayer. Yep. And have either of you checked it out yet?
No.
Are you going to?
Yes. It's on my list.
All right, good. Because highly, highly recommend. Honestly, it is a absolute delight to watch, both in terms of like animation and like storytelling. And then I think that's pretty much it for anime. For movies, I recently watched the 2019 film The Lighthouse, starring Robert Pattinson and Willem Dafoe.
Yes, the GOAT.
And it was absolutely amazing. I loved it. But it's not for the faint of heart.
Okay.
It is, you know, it's a disturbing movie, you know. It's horror, you know, it's psychological horror. It's essentially like the Cliff Note version of what it's about is basically two men being marooned on a island and slowly but surely descending into madness.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds wild.
And just the performances of Pattinson and Dafoe alone make it worth the watch. But again, like, content warning, it's, you know, very explicit, very dark, gritty, unsettling. You know, it's a movie produced by A24, who also did like Hereditary and like Midsommar.
Yeah.
Which both meh movies.
Yeah. Like, I wasn't a fan of either of those films, mainly due to like personal takes and personal reasons. But like, The Lighthouse definitely remedies their formula of horror. And I thought it was a very refreshing take.
Awesome.
So if you can stomach like mature content and mature themes, I definitely recommend it 100%.
Awesome.
But other than that, that's kind of like what I've been up to.
Oh yeah. Let's add one little bit before we get into our stories. I also did watch a movie. I watched Creed 3.
Absolutely. Oh, hell yeah. Yes.
It was so good.
Did you enjoy that one?
Yes.
Good, that was good,
the
good. One
that Michael B. Jordan acted in and also either produced or directed.
I think he directed that one.
Directed, yeah.
Yeah, and cool thing about that movie and just the Creed franchise in general, Michael B. Jordan has a lot of like anime influences, especially in Creed 3.
It was so good.
And he's been like, he's been quoted multiple times stating like his inspirations. Like, he was inspired by like Dragon Ball Z, Hajime no Ippo, I think Ashita no Joe, and also like Megalobox.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can see all of that.
And like, he even went to Japan to promote the film when it released there overseas. And I didn't know this until I found out about his interview over there, is the movie over there released with a special animated portion for like the Japanese audience.
Oh, wow.
That's so cool.
Which I'm super jelly about. And I really want to see that like animated portion. Like, that would be so freaking sick.
Absolutely. Highly recommend that franchise.
Yeah, because I watched the first one. I never watched the sequel or the third film.
Yeah, to me, the third one's the best one.
Mm-hmm.
The second one was really good.
Isn't it? Where did you watch it? Because I think I saw it on Amazon Prime.
Because I think you can stream it, right?
Yep, on Prime.
Yeah, it's free on Prime.
If you have Amazon Prime, go watch Creed 3 if you haven't already seen it. It's on my list to do.
Let's go ahead and jump into some stories, yes, guys. Let's talk some Nintendo.
Yeah, there's been some big news very recently with Nintendo, because the Nintendo Direct happened recently.
Yeah. Nintendo announced a lot of things.
Yes.
I personally think this is the best Nintendo Direct I've ever seen.
I definitely saw like, in terms of a reaction by fans, it was the most like hype fans have gotten in some time over a Nintendo Direct.
Yeah. Like, I've been asking for one of the games on this list for years, and it's just so good to see that it's finally happening. So my favorite Mario game of all time is Super Mario RPG.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so getting good. A remaster.
so good.
Devin, you would hate it.
But no, I would.
That is my favorite, like, Mario game. A lot of people didn't even know it existed. Like, a lot of gamers just have never played it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a masterpiece. It's so good.
That's what I've heard. I've never personally played it. Like, I was aware of it, like, when it first came out. But I just never got around to it, you know?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I never checked into Nintendo Direct because I completely forgot about it. So I'm looking at it, and the thing that calls out the most to me, just looking at the announcements, Luigi's Mansion looks, the Dark Moon remaster looks amazing.
Yeah.
I'm here for it. And outside of that, don't care about any of this else. I don't have a Nintendo Switch. I know I should buy one, but I don't. So whenever I see anything Nintendo related, specifically on the Directs, I'm like, oh, this looks like a game they just released not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. That's fair enough. Fair enough. But I'm just going to quickly run through this since we took up a ton of time already. Detective Pikachu 2 is coming. They've got a Super Mario Bros. Wonder.
Yes.
So it's like a new, brand new, like, 2D Mario.
Mm-hmm.
They announced that the Metal Gear Solid Collection Volume 1 is coming to the Switch, which is dope. They've got a Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, Zelda and Ganondorf getting, like, an amiibo. Mm-hmm. Kind of cool. WarioWare. I haven't heard that one in a while. It's coming back.
Hell yeah.
Let's see. It's got 200 wild micrograms in it. My God. Wow. let's see. They showed some more Pikmin 4 details, some like a full gameplay reveal. And then they also announced that the Pikmin 1 and 2 are now in the Nintendo eShop, which is pretty cool. Let's see, Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, they are getting a new expansion. It's pretty dope. Let's see, Mario Kart 8 adds a new course alongside Petey the Piranha, Wiggler, and Kamek.
I swear, that game is never gonna die, like GTA 5.
Do you guys know the release date of Mario Kart 8, by the way?
Came out on the Wii U. So I do not know. It's been a long time.
Mason, you have an idea?
I'm trying to remember.
Let's say 2013.
I think it was around 2013, 2014.
You would have it correct at 2014.
Because I remember I got the Switch for a Christmas gift around that time, and it got bundled with Mario Kart.
Wow, that's crazy. It's been out forever.
And it's getting new DLC.
Yep. Yep. Because no one played it on the Wii U, so they were like, oh, we're going to port it to the Switch, which they did with everything else.
And we're going to drive it wild. It's time for Mario Kart 9. Or just skip, or do what Apple did. Skip 9 and go straight to 10.
Yep.
Yeah. Nintendo, if you're ever listening, just bring back the Double Dash format. That was the best format.
Double Dash is so good.
This is the best Mario Kart I've ever played. It's not even close. All right. But let's see. Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon, like Mason said earlier, is getting that remaster, which is dope. That's a game from 2013. Vampire Survivors is making its way to the Switch.
Hell yeah. I'm definitely going to download it, even though I have it both on Xbox and PC, because I just love the game.
It's getting couch co-op too.
Oh, which hell is
pretty
yeah.
Cool.
I'm hyped for that.
Yeah. This was a sleeper one for me that I didn't know existed, but I am a 100% going to probably buy it. Dragon Quest Monsters, The Dark Prince. So it's literally Dragon Quest, but look like Pokemon. Mm. It looks so fun. And it's like, I love Dragon Quest. And to see like a little Pokemon at like addition to the series, I'm in. Count me in.
You know what game that I've been hoping someone brings back? And if anybody's going to bring it back, it's most likely going to be Nintendo.
What's that?
F-Zero?
No, I want a mainstream Monster Rancher game and not like a spin-off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or like a remaster.
Yeah.
Right.
Remaster Monster Rancher 4, I'm in.
Absolutely. I'm 100% in.
Yes, I've been looking. I like check for that every now and then, and still nothing.
It's still out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see. Sonic Superstars got a new gameplay trailer. This was an odd one. This one came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Batman Arkham Trilogy is coming to Nintendo Switch.
That,
you know,
no.
You know
no.
Nintendo's been waiting for. You know that's what the people who own Nintendo Switches have been waiting for, is the Arkham series.
Do you think it'll sell? Like,
yeah, I do.
I think it might, like, moderately sell.
So weird.
Do I think it'll sell? Yes. Do I think it'll play flawlessly? No.
Well, to be fair, though, the Switch is on old tech, but it's on tech from around that generation, so it might be fine.
But Arkham City itself was still pushing that tech then. And Nintendo Switch can't even produce its own games now.
Fair. So let's see.
Yes, it'll sell, but it'll sell and people will be mad the entire time.
So here we go. Star Ocean, the second story. It's getting a remake. It's coming 2023.
I used to play that like back in the day.
Yeah, this is from 1998. Like, holy shit. Persona 5 Tactica. Mm-hmm. It's got another gameplay trailer. Myth Force. This one looks cool. I'd like to see gameplay from it though. It's got that like old style, like Thundercats kind of like show look to it. It looks visually pleasing for me. Yes. Wow.
Can't not say Thundercats when somebody else mentions Thundercats.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Let's see. Mario Rabbids Sparks of Hope's got a new DLC. Let's see. I don't know what this is. Splatoon 3 Splatfest is all about ice cream. Not a clue.
I'm assuming that's like a season thing. Like the new season is about to be called Splatfest.
Let's see. It must be a event because it says it goes from July 14th through the 16th.
Okay. Well, good for them.
Just Dance. Oh my God. I
still don't understand how this game works without a Kinect. I don't understand it. Like Kinect, it made sense. The Nintendo Wii, it made sense. Mm-hmm. Any other console, this game does not make sense to me.
Yeah, I have no idea. No clue in this world. Palia, it's like a free-to-play adventure sim.
This seems like, I looked into this before we started, this seems like the game I would be the most interested in.
I looked at it as well, and I agree. I would also be very interested in this. I'm curious if there's going to be like open world, like friends, you know, and stuff like that. Like, or if it's just like, nah, you're just in your own world with your NPCs. Regardless, it looks fun either way either path that ends up taking.
Mm-hmm.
This is a completely new one. Penny's Big Breakaway. It's a new like 3D platformer.
I love when we get an opportunity to see like new IPs. Like I'm excited for that from Nintendo.
Yeah, that's a cool one. Fae Farm. It's like a farming sim.
My type of game.
It says it has some magic in it as well. Silent Hope. I'm not really familiar with this one. It's some sort of action RPG.
Mm-hmm.
Headbangers Rhythm Royale. Looks like some wild mini game filled game. Yeah, it looks like it's 29 other players. So it's you and 29 other players and 20 musical minigames. Interesting. Gloomhaven. This one's pretty cool. I've played this on the PC.
Yeah, Gloomhaven's legit.
Yeah, so fun. So fun. It's a board game and it got converted over to the PC. And it looks like it's now coming to Switch. Manic Mechanics is in it. This is like a 4-player co-op game about repairing vehicles as fast as you can. So kind of like what is that? That cooking game. Oh my cooking god. Not Cooking Mama. Overcooked. And but then
my thing about this Maniacs or Mechanics or whatever, is this a game you're going to be tuning in every other day to play with your friends, or is this like a one-off just
party game? Yeah, probably a party game. You know, nothing that you would like tune into, or like something would you play with the kids or the family? You know, because it looks like it would be very couch co-opable. Because that's how Overcooked is. And then Hot Wheels Unleashed 2 Turbocharged will come to the Switch with over 130 vehicles.
I appreciate this one, but what I don't appreciate is you can race online with up to 12 players. My problem with racing games, and this is evident with most of them, why are you guys limiting me to 12 cars on track? Like, yo, if it's about to be a Hot Wheels Unleashed 2 and it's online, put 100 cars on track. Let's make this fun. Let's make it wild.
50 minimum.
50 minimum. Massive action game. And I want the slowest cars first. I don't want them in the back. I want them in the front.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm in. I'm all in.
But let's
change tunes. Let's jump to another topic. Mason, why don't you take this story on Kick?
So I don't know if our listeners have really heard too much about this yet, or if it's just like too fresh to really like report on it just yet, but I do feel like we should mention it, because what Kick essentially is, it's a new streaming platform like Twitch, and you know, it's the new kid on the block, very akin to what like Mixer did back in the day. Do you remember that Mixer?
Yep.
You know, they signed who was it? Ninja, right?
Yep. Sure did.
Paid a buttload of money to him. He got his bag, and then slowly but surely the platform of Mixer just fizzled out. And part of me does feel like Kick is going to suffer the same fate. But most notably, what Kick does is that they are trying to entice people to, you know, join the platform by signing, you know, very prominent and popular Twitch personalities. The biggest being I want to say he's the largest Twitch streamer at the moment by the name of XQC. I want to say he's the biggest male streamer on the platform.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but I want to say he is.
I would probably say he probably is.
Not only that, but they also signed, I want to say again, that she is one of the top female streamers on Twitch. Goes by the name of Amaranth.
She is the top female streamer on Twitch.
Okay.
Yes. And she's massive.
Yeah, and she's known for her explicit content. Take that with what you will, you know. People gotta make money somehow.
and wasn't it her who was just in that like controversy
she got suspended on Twitch for breaking their like code of conduct. Because a lot of, from what I understand through like reading articles about her, is she kind of like borders that line of the their policy in regards to like what is safe to stream and what isn't safe to stream.
Oh my god.
So she tries to like border that line by doing a lot of content that is in like that gray area.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, again, you know, she's got to make money somehow.
But I will say it doesn't matter now.
No. I mean, she got a big bag of money for going with Kick, as did XQC. They gave him $100 million.
Insane.
I think it was $100 million for a 2-year contract. 2-year
contract. Like, it's insane.
Her deal, Amaranth, it was actually never publicly revealed what her deal was. but they're saying it's probably up there as well. Yeah, if not more.
I would say it's probably similar. But Kick does have controversy, because as Chris pointed out in a group chat with us, it is owned and operated by a notorious gambler, right?
Something like so, like either like a like when, wherever they get their money from, it's allegedly from gambling.
Okay.
So like they own some sort of gambling mm-hmm. business.
And what's enticing for creators in this new platform is, out the gate, Kick is offering a 95-5 split in terms of revenue for huge. Creators, meaning creators get to keep 95% and Kick receives only 5. So that's a huge enticement. Whereas, Twitch, for certain streamers, they offer a 70-30 split where, creators get 70%, Twitch gets 30. But that's not widespread. That's only for I think Twitch affiliates and Twitch partners that receive that. So I can understand why some creators, want to shift to that platform. But I don't know. I mean, time will tell to see if Kick takes off. Or if it fizzles out like Mixer did. So we'll kind of have to take that sort of wait and see approach with Kick.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm actually pretty happy that there is more competition in this field.
I agreed too, because Twitch does have a monopoly on streaming at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Twitch. There's a minor amount of people that stream on YouTube.
Yeah, but it's it's nowhere near the level of Twitch, though.
Exactly. Like, YouTube's is so bad, I truly don't even know where you look for it. I have never seen it on there. But, I know it's there. And, I've seen, someone I follow start streaming. But, if I don't follow them, how do I find them? Mm-hmm. I welcome that. There is finally some sort of competition since Mixer fizzled out. But hope this stays around for a long time.
My question is, even though you adopted two of the biggest streamers of current modern era, do you think a lot, or let's say, do you even think 80% of their followers are going to go to an entirely new platform just to follow?
I think for Amaranth, I do think a good majority will, because unfortunately a lot of her viewers, I'm going to say this, they're simps.
They are.
100%. Yeah, without a doubt.
I would hate to see her DM messages, by the way.
I mean,
please no.
And this is a bit of a tangent, but it goes along with this topic, is she actually developed an artificial intelligent chat bot for her viewers to interact with. I'm not even joking.
That is so weird.
And do you want to know how much she's charging?
Yeah, I kind of do.
I want to say off the top of my head, I could be misquoting this. I want to say it's $25 for a minute or two. I don't recall the pricing, but I think it equates to $5 a minute or something like that. Chatbot pricing.
While you look that up, I do want to say apparently there's been some
cuts. Here we go. Her AI bot costs $1 per minute.
That's just ridiculous.
Because she wanted to outsource flirting with her viewership.
I mean, I get it, but apparently there's been some controversy with her going to Kick, and not from where you would think it's coming from.
Okay.
So, another famous female streamer, Pokimane.
Yes.
She says that moving from Twitch to Kick isn't worth compromising morals. It is very cringe. Mm-hmm. And then Amaranth says that Pokimane is just trying to farm clout and relevancy.
Hmm.
So it looks like there's a split. Some people who are going to kick doing it possibly for the money, whereas other people who are staying where they're at are doing it for the morals. I don't know who's right. I will say that just for information's sake, Amaranth has 6.4 million followers and 979,000 subscribers.
Jesus Christ.
That's a lot.
The money.
And the other guy was XQC?
Yeah. XQC.
Okay, the amount of followers that XQC currently has, he, his is a little bit, oh, wow. He has 2.27 million subscribers.
Okay. He's a big, he's big time.
He's big time. Yeah. It also doesn't say how many followers he has.
I know it's no, significant.
11.1 million followers.
Oh, my fucking God. That's a lot of people. That's a huge audience.
And interestingly, he lives where I was just at, in Laval, Quebec, Canada.
Wild.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, good for him. And I hope this deal is lucrative for them both. I hope that if they leave, I hope that Pokimane can go ahead and capture the whatever remaining base is left. I don't know. I don't follow. I don't follow these people.
Same. I have no interest.
Anywho, let's move over and I'll take over this story. And it feels like every week we give a Xbox, Activision, Blizzard, Sony update.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And this week is going to be no different.
Yep.
So one of the reasons that the Activision Blizzard deal has been stalled is because Sony basically said that if this deal is allowed to go through, you are eliminating competition and you're taking away Call of Duty from us and you're making it an exclusive, which it's not supposed to be, and it is not fair. You need to stop this acquisition. Is that, have I covered that from Jim Ryan's perspective?
I mean, yep. More or less, yeah.
Yep.
He has said that if Call of Duty is allowed to go to Xbox, what will happen is if PlayStation can keep Call of Duty, what will happen is PlayStation will get a lesser quality. They said the DLC won't be there. They said that it'll be exclusive, and they said that it wouldn't be fair, right?
And it'll put PlayStation out of business.
Well, as they're going through court, as Microsoft, Activision, Blizzard is going through court, I guess, assuming with Sony, apparently Jim Ryan does not believe that to be 100% true. So when it came down to it, apparently Jim Ryan sent an email that the Activision Blizzard deal or Microsoft's acquisition to the Activision Blizzard deal, it is not an exclusivity play at all. Ryan wrote, according to a Microsoft lawyer. The email was dated January 20th, 2022, just 2 days after the acquisition was announced. Jim Ryan writes, Microsoft is thinking bigger than that, and they have the cash to make moves like this. I spent a fair bit of time with Phil Spencer and Bobby Kotick over the past day, and I'm pretty sure we'll continue to see Call of Duty on PlayStation for many years to come. And this is going in the absolute opposite of what he's been saying. When a few days later after the deal was announced, Jim Ryan called the deal inadequate. Microsoft has only offered for Call of Duty to remain on PlayStation for 3 years after the current agreement between Activision and Sony ends. After almost 20 years of Call of Duty on PlayStation, their proposal was inadequate on many levels and failed to take account of the impact on our gamers. We want to guarantee PlayStation gamers continue to have the highest quality Call of Duty experience, and Microsoft's proposal undermines this principle. So wait. So you're realizing it's not, has nothing to do with you. It has to do with the bigger picture, but because you have the possibility to be negatively impacted, you wish to stop the whole thing, Mr. Ryan. That's not okay.
Mm-mm.
And one thing that's also been noted during the trial is that Microsoft has, or let me phrase this, PlayStation has been doing exclusivity deals against Microsoft for a very long time.
Yeah.
But apparently that has not yet come up in court. But what did come up in court, which, boy, Activision Blizzard, you're back to being a scumbag. So one of the bombshell reports that came out of the trial, and here's the headline. Microsoft claims Bobby Kotick demanded a bigger revenue share to put Call of Duty on Xbox.
Sounds about right.
Yep, I believe it.
I mean, Bobby Kotick's just a scumbag in general.
Xbox Vice President Sarah Bond dropped yet another bombshell, claiming that Activision Blizzard CEO Bobby Kotick demanded a greater revenue share to put Call of Duty on Microsoft platforms. According to Bond, Kotick made it clear if we did not move beyond standard revenue share that he intended not to place Call of Duty on Xbox. Ultimately, Bond said Xbox decided to meet Activision Blizzard's demand. Time was limited. We had players whose expectations we wanted to meet, so we ultimately made a decision that was the best thing for the business. Bond's comments were in response to questions from Microsoft Counsel in which she claimed that Call of Duty wasn't a must-have game. However, her comments were contradicted in part by Xbox's decision to pay Activision Blizzard more money to keep Call of Duty on their platforms, as the Federal Trade Commission, FTC, pointed out later in the cross-examination. Bond characterized the negotiations as lively, adding that a current agreement prevents Call of Duty from being on Xbox Game Pass before January of 2025. So, Bobby Kotick was being a complete and utter dick.
No surprise there.
So, here's some more information. In addition to revenue sharing, Bond also talked about Call of Duty's marketing agreements, which resulted in very clear limits on what Xbox could say about the series. A year ago, we wanted to show that Call of Duty Vanguard was launching on Xbox, and we were told we could not say it on YouTube or any other place where customers who were not our own customers could see it, and we had to hold for a period of time. According to Bond, the Xbox website was fine, as were Xbox's own Twitter accounts, but we film a showcase that is people who can watch it live on YouTube and other places, and at the end we wanted to put a slate that says here are all the games coming in the next year. We were told we could not say Call of Duty was coming the next year. Asked whether there were other games with similar types of marketing exclusivity, Bond pointed to Harry Potter Hogwarts Legacy, which was released earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically, she's trying to make the argument that Sony has been so hamstrung in making these deals that they couldn't even say Call of Duty on YouTube.
Really?
Crazy.
That's insane.
That's how messed up it is. And at least with them buying it, they don't have to continue doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And by Phil Spencer going out and saying that Microsoft has essentially lost the console wars, what they're saying is that no, they really haven't really lost the console wars. It's just a way for them to try to get this approved. That, hey, the only way we can even be compete is if we have Call of Duty.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy situation.
I'm just baffled at, honestly.
I'm like, why are y'all all treating Microsoft like the redheaded stepchild?
It's crazy. Makes no sense. And it's so funny. The FTC is an American company.
Mm-hmm.
Well, an American
institution.
Yes, institution. Why are you scrutinizing another American company the way that you have?
I mean, I get it, because they're worried about it, you know, creating a monopoly, but like, from
it's
what,
so obviously not, though,
yeah, from what I'm, you know, seeing, like, the FTC has allowed deals crazier than this.
Oh yeah.
You know,
Ticketmaster, that's what happened there. What happened there?
That's okay. I mean, Ticketmaster is a nightmare.
It's bullshit.
It's a legitimate nightmare. And like, they allowed I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the AT&T and Sony merger, right?
Yeah, they did allow that. But I will say that if Microsoft somehow manages to win this, I think they're going to. I think it's going to take a lot of money and a lot of time. The first thing, and I do mean the first thing that they need to do, is they need to release a Call of Duty trailer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And use the Eminem song Without Me.
Ah.
And only play the part. So the FCC won't let me be, or let me be me, so let me stay. They try to shut me down on MCB, but it feels so empty without me.
I love it.
Honestly, if the Microsoft Twitter account does not mention that song or any capacity, if this deal goes through, I'm going to be so disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's the update on the Microsoft Activision Blizzard, specifically Jim Ryan's emails. Mm-hmm. And we have one final story, and that is the Xbox is going to be increasing their pricing. Did you guys see this coming?
Yeah. I mean, with the Xbox Game Pass price hike, we kind of figured this was going to come because they've been maintaining this quote unquote like cheaper price for the last like two and a half years roughly. And they've been quoted multiple times saying like, hey, it's not going to be like this forever. We need to move with the market, right? Yep. And you know, they're increasing the monthly fee by $2, which isn't too significant. This is the first price hike for the subscription service in quite some time. And I want to say it might be the first.
It is the first, yep.
And honestly, that's good that it took this long for a price hike, because just look at like Netflix. You know, they've risen their prices multiple times over the course of many years. Like, I remember when it used to be like $7.99.
Oh, yeah. I miss those days.
You know,
same.
Like when they first, you know, came out, you know, when they delivered like DVDs to houses and shit like that. But those days are numbered. And plus, you know, they're cracking down on password sharing, but that's a whole nother can of worms that we won't dive into this episode.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, not at all.
I'm still going to support them.
Right. Here's the breakdown. So the Xbox Series X for Xbox is the only console being increased. It will increase in most countries in August, besides the United States, Japan, Chile, Brazil, and Colombia.
Nice.
The standard Xbox, like the base Xbox Game Pass price, is going up to $10.99 from $9.99. The PC Game Pass price is going to stay at $9.99. The Xbox Series X, let's see, we have the prices for that. Oh, there's so many different prices, so I'm not going to go into the Xbox Series X. But yeah, they just expect about a 10% increase in price.
I mean, still not terrible.
It's still a good deal.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, any final parting words before we leave by the day, guys?
Nope.
The one thing I will say is if you are one of those folks that discount Robert Pattinson as a actor, do not sleep on him, because he is a very good actor, as we have seen in The Batman. Now we've seen it in The Lighthouse. We've seen it in this movie called Water for Elephants. He gets a lot of flack for Twilight, but try to look past that and just check his other shit out, honestly. Like, I do think he's underrated, so I highly recommend checking out his other work. Like, he's a very good actor.
Dope.
Chris, any final thoughts?
None for me.
All right, final thought for me is definitely run out to go see the Spider-Verse 2 film, and if you want to continue watching any of the upcoming DC films, you will definitely need to see The Flash. If you want, go ahead and sign up for the Movie Pass subscription. It seems to be fine for now, but I'll give you guys reviews and updates. And that's all I have to say. If you like what we do here at the Uninformed Gamers Podcast, be sure to give us a like and a subscribe any place you listen to podcasts. If you want to reach me directly, you can reach out to me on Xbox Darkness Tiger, PlayStation Darkness Tiger 2, the Twitter page at Uninformed Gamers, and the TikTok at Uninformed Gamers. And let us know your thoughts. If you're going to be moving over to Kick or you're going to stay with Twitch, I want to hear what's the reasoning why. Mm-hmm. All right, guys, go ahead and give your sign offs.
Yeah, I am Chameleon. You can find me on Twitter at Chameleon Games.
And I have been Rad Dreams from Rad Dreams Review on YouTube. And you could also find me at Rad_Dreams on Twitch.
All right. We will catch you all next time. Bye.
Peace.
Later.